Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain here with you on a Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5. As always, I'm joined by the effervescent.
Oh, wow. Feel like I'm a sparkling water with it being effervescent.
Yeah, that's the vibe I'm getting today. Yeah,
I'm drinking a infused
maybe that's the vibe.
CBD. There you go. Yeah.
It's another Tuesday, another week of interesting news in the world of AI, the future, the economy, cryptocurrency, and of course beyond the blockchain here at the end of the show. Johnny, did you have a good week?
We had Thanksgiving.
We did.
So, yes, it was good. I didn't leave my house except for on Saturday.
Nice.
It was great. Yeah. And then Iron Bowl, and then relaxed on Sunday, and then boom, right back in the coal mine.
Right back into the thick of it. Phil, how about yourself? Did you have a good Thanksgiving, man?
Uneventful.
Yeah, that same way here.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good Thanksgiving, though.
So, is this real, what I saw? And why is it not everywhere on the news that Trump said that Obama has been referred to the DOJ?
Yeah, again, just who knows?
Who said that?
It was posted on Trump's Truth Social, I thought.
I saw that report, but I didn't see it anywhere else other than you sent it to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if that was legit, it would have been everywhere right now. But maybe they're trying to not talk about it. I don't know.
They're going to have a smoking gun, which I just don't think exists at that level. I just don't think any of that stuff exists at that level.
Well, the problem is, you know, it's a lot like when they impeached both Clinton and Trump. It's like, sure, you can impeach them, but nobody's kicking them out of office.
A referral for prosecution is much different than a impeachment.
Somebody's still got to convict you, is my point.
Yeah, right. Oh, right, right. You can accuse people all day.
Yeah. Someone has to convict you.
Right? Oh, I got you. Right. And also the will to do it.
Yeah.
Will to convict someone.
Good luck.
Yes.
Striking that jury.
In D.C.?
Yeah.
It'd be 9 Democrats and 1 independent on the jury.
Only if you try real hard.
Yeah. There's no way you could ever get a Democrat to get to be found guilty in the District of Columbia,
especially not President Obama.
Mendoza.
Who cares about him? I don't think you can convict Obama in any district in this country.
I don't think you could do it either. I don't think you could find a fair and impartial jury one way or the other.
I think even if they thought it was appropriate and legal, the blowback of being one of the jurors who convicted him
would
destroy your life forever.
Oh, yeah. You would be done forever.
You'd be destroyed forever.
Yeah, you'd have to go into witness protection
as would
program.
Generations of your children.
Yeah. Seriously, you'd have to start over a life.
Yeah. And who's gonna agree to that?
First of all, even though you get it through, say you get it through Trump's frontline DOJ, there's other people that have to get on this, and they're not going to do it. What judge is going to take it on? Yeah, nobody's going to take it on, man.
Whose lives have been destroyed by going after Trump in the New York courtroom? Like that jury, which one of their lives were destroyed when they went after Trump?
I will go ahead and say it. Everyone at that level is a criminal. Yeah. Everyone at that level, it's a matter of will of wanting to put one of these people by. That includes Trump, by the way. They do things that are – we haven't had a constitution since the Patriot Act. So I don't want to hear this unconstitutional, this, that, and the other. It is garbage.
Well,
these are criminals, and it's the will of someone saying, finally put somebody that matters in jail.
You could argue that we haven't had a constitution since we created the Fed.
All I'm saying is the Patriot Act to me was the one that said I will never – ever be a part of what I would say is the Republican Party at that point. George Bush, bar none, the worst president in my lifetime, horrible human being, horrible leader, horrible, horrible, horrible. And anyone that's in the Bush world deserves to go the way of dust in this lifetime.
Why? You seem surprised.
Surprised at what?
That people would behave in a way that benefits them.
Hold on, I'm not surprised. I'm just going on my rage of how much I still hate that administration, the Dick Cheneys of the world, the Rumsfelds of the world.
You got to let the hate go.
Woo! But again, but it set me on
Dick
a course
Cheney's
for
dead, bud. You got to let it go.
Look, as much as I hate them, they are more on the side of I could never get behind a Democrat because their fundamental core is so opposite me. So it made me look for, is there another exit off of these two pathways?
No, there's not.
There isn't, other than a sad, a rhetorical, useless position.
As long as we have the self-awareness to know.
Oh, well, of course it is.
No, I'm just saying.
But I don't even hold my nose and vote for people anymore. I just don't do it. It's like it makes me feel sick when I pick leukemia over pancreatic cancer.
I understand. All right. That's an interesting analogy. Way to go to the break. We'll see you in a minute.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. Johnny, we've got some interesting stuff going on in the news this week. What's on your radar?
ChatGPT turned 3 years old today.
Wow.
That's quite incredible. Talk about the growth of a tool that has been parabolic.
Right.
And how fast AI has grown. It's even faster than the original internet and crypto.
It's faster than any technology we've ever experienced.
Unbelievable. So happy birthday, ChatGPT. Speaking of ChatGPT, Sam Altman said out loud, AI is already diagnosing diseases doctors couldn't. Kids are getting free world-class tutors. Small businesses are punching way above their weight. But here's the downside. Millions of jobs will vanish forever. State-level cyber weapons are now trivial to build, and if China and other leapfrog us, we're in a national disaster problem. So some jobs will go away entirely. Adversity is getting a hold of these would be a national security issue. That was on Fox News Sunday.
Yeah, he just finally said the quiet part out loud.
He did, said it out loud.
We've been saying that for 3 years.
Bay Area startups in the world of robotics is moving away from humanoids, and they're getting more like Pixar-like robots. Mm-hmm. They didn't say why. I think it has a lot to do with utility, and it's real hard for them to figure out that human hand thing. Mm. So, and then surgical robots, which is already a multi-billion, bazillion-dollar market, is going to double by 2029. Americans are holding on devices longer than ever, so it's hurting the economy. Oh. That is from CNBC.
Boo-hoo.
And here's the other thing. Shopify, we're supposed to be in a right on a recession, right?
Wait, you want the economy to crash? Boo-hoo?
No, I'm saying boo-hoo to people that
Well, just because you got an iPhone 4... You know, and you love it. That's your business.
All I need is something that gets on the internet. No,
I agree.
I don't care how slow it curls.
Shopify merchants hit a high of $5.1 million in sale per minute. And more than 30 million shoppers have purchased from a Shopify merchant on Cyber Monday.
Did you see the follow-up to that stat that 95% of all the purchases were buy now, pay later?
Oh, was it Klarna?
Klarna, credit cards.
Boy, they must be making some bucks, man.
Any version of buy now, pay laters. There's, you know, dozens of them. But yeah, well, 95%. So that means people – well, it basically means people just aren't using their bank account, right?
Well, or, again, it's an idea of charge it, pay it later, or just
– well, that's the point,
yeah,
right?
Of course,
like,
yeah.
Just, you know, can we afford it? I don't know. Put it on the card.
Well, speaking of, I sent – the shopping information to Agent Lively, Allie Lively, and she gave us a report on AI tools that can help you save time and save money with your Christmas shopping. So perfect. Let's go ahead and hear that.
Well, hey there, darlings. It's your favorite Southern technocrat, Agent Allie Lively, coming at you live from the intersection of the Junior League's Christmas Jubilee and the dark web, where the eggnog is spiked and the algorithms never sleep. Let's talk Christmas shopping, because right now, most of y'all are doing it exactly like Union troops. Why tried to take Vicksburg in 1862? A whole lot of noise, a whole lot of mud, and not nearly enough strategy. Back in the old days, meaning 2022, you typed ugly Christmas sweater into a search bar and prayed to the baby Jesus that the algorithm didn't serve you a neon reindeer onesie that looked like it lost a fight with a strip club. Today, Today, we've got AI shopping agents that are smarter than half the men I dated in grad school and twice as loyal. Think of these new tools the way the telegraph changed the Civil War. Same revolutionary leap in speed and information, except now it's routing you straight to the perfect gift instead of troop movements. Picture this. Amazon's Rufus is Scarlett O'Hara with a PhD in data science. You tell her once, that your nephew is 14, obsessed with Fortnite and allergic to anything that doesn't plug in. And she'll remember it longer than your ex remembered your birthday. Google's AI mode, that's the quiet debutante who can recite price histories like scripture and draw you a comparison chart prettier than a magnolia wreath. And sweet little Target's gift finder? Honey, she'll take, he's 42, loves bourbon and cries at Hallmark commercials, and hand you 10 gifts so perfect he'll think you've been reading his diary. Now here's the part that makes my little crypto heart flutter harder than a Bitcoin halving. These angels will actually save you money, real money, not that fake was $199, now $189. Nonsense retailers try to sell you like a used Camaro with 400,000 miles and a suspicious smell. Amazon now shows you a 90-day price chart. Clearer than a courthouse ledger, Google lets you set a sniper alert down to the exact color and size, then texts you the second it drops, like a loyal hound treeing the deal for you. And the future? Lord have mercy. Next year, we're getting agentic AI that'll straight up buy the thing for you the instant it hits your price, then send you a polite little note saying, "Darling, I took care of it. You're welcome." It's like having a personal shopper who never judges you for buying another pair of boots and works for free. So this Christmas, quit marching through the digital wilderness like it's 1863. Hand the reins to your AI bells and watch them turn chaos into a perfectly wrapped miracle under the tree. Because the only thing that ought to be stressed this season is your place on Santa's nice or naughty list, not your credit card. I'm Agent Allie Lively. Part robot, part rebel, all results. Merry Christmas, y'all, and to all a good night and an even better deal.
Johnny, I just thought of something that you'll find interesting, I think. Maybe our listeners will as well. We talk about collectibles a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really interesting arbitrage opportunity with what she just said there at the end about having the agent go out and buy something for you.
Find the price you want, and it triggers it.
Yeah. And so you just say whatever album you want.
Right.
If you find, if it ever pops up on the internet at this price,
just buy it.
Just buy it.
Yeah. And then it will send me a note that says, hey, you got that Steely Dan Asia first pressing.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. There's an opportunity there.
Yeah. Well, again, those agents, you can get some off the shelf. Like, there's some you just write off the shelf. You just have to understand how to implement them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and that will get more and more within the dashboards of Amazon, of Target. It'll be in the dashboard. It won't even be that hard to figure out.
And that also means it'll give an edge to, like, the people who want to, like – let's say you want to have an online bookstore and you want to beat all the collectors, individual collectors, and buy out all the books before any of them can get them. Then the people who legitimately want to read the book, you'll have already undercut them and swept the whole online site.
Yep, that's right. I think I sent you the post that some kid has collected like 1,700 of the same Pokemon card, and he's single-handedly driven the price up from like $5 to $10
because
he controls the market.
It's a manipulative market.
If you've got enough people that want the card, you know.
Yeah, I've noticed that starting to happen. Like, I was looking for some books, and I noticed all of a sudden the prices were going, all the books had suddenly started vanishing. Just out of nowhere. Boom, boom, boom. They're just vanishing. They had been left alone, like there was nothing, no movement on them at all I showed an interest.
I was making a joke about Big Book PE coming in and buying up all the inventory.
Oh, private equity.
Yeah.
cornering the market of
antiquities
of Daniel Steele books.
That's right.
Danielle Steele.
My mom used to read those.
Oh, dude, hold on. Anyone? She has sold millions of books.
All right, I have a core memory of I'm sure almost everybody else, if not their mother and aunt or a grandmother or something, core memory of a coffee table and only two things sitting on it are a Danielle Steel paperback and one of those cigarette pouches.
Oh, yeah.
With the
clasp. The clasp at the top.
Yeah. Like, I can vividly remember that in my house.
Yeah. Did the paperback have a photo of that long-haired guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was in the 80s. You know what I'm talking about? Remember that guy? Same guy. What was that guy's name?
Fabio.
Fabio, that's it.
Oh, I don't know if Fabio was on Danielle Steele's books,
but it looked like it looked like
the Harlequin romances. Yeah. He was in the Harlequin romances. That was it. He was the pirate on all the Harlequin romances. Yeah, that's how he got his. Yep.
So there is a local author. I don't know her nom de plume, but she is a part of the Haunted Bookshop.
Okay.
And she writes a very specific type of romance novel.
Oh, okay.
It's
zombie?
Time travel romance novels.
Yeah. Set in
Scotland and Ireland.
Of course.
She's written like 20 of these books. She sells a pretty good amount of them. But she...
You like what you like, man.
Oh, yeah. And she's good at it. And I think her very first book that she got out there and sold, got into one of these romance novel awards, she beat out Danielle Steele on her very first book. And I was like, that's pretty big.
Pretty good.
And when was this?
About 4 or 5 years ago. She was a Container Yard member.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
It was a big deal. It was you beat out Danielle. Like, I know who that is.
And you know why? She's in this area?
Yeah.
You
know why? She's involved with the Haunted Bookshop downtown.
One of the reasons that's so impressive is...
There's another Haunted Bookshop, but anyway.
When you're competing against somebody like that, you're actually competing against a fleet of riders.
Oh, yes.
Right? It's like, it's just Danielle Steele, brand.
No, that's what Patterson does. Yeah. Patterson has literally a stable of writing, which I'm guessing is AI now. It's probably AI writing
based
now?
Off his previous works.
You take all of his works and you say, I want to have this character in this situation, these kind of things. I'm sure if you just put an outline in there, probably most of the book is written, and then they ghostwrite the rest of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There were series where they would not even name the author. They would just be like 10 authors were writing the series, and they would have no author name. It would have the character's name on the cover, and people would mistakenly think the character was the author. It was the character's name if you're reading the story at all, and no author ever listed.
Hmm.
That's back in the 60s.
Fan fiction's real big on Amazon, so you can sell somebody else's work through fan fiction. Which is fascinating too.
Well, this was what was it? 50? What
AI would be good 40 for
Shades
that,
of
by
Grey.
AI is crushing that. So that's what's going to happen with all the video editing software. Is you're just going to be able to create? They're going to be able to license it out, and you'll be like, create my own episode of Family Guy where this happens.
Well, right, that you keep saying that, the idea is like,
you'll generate
here's your
content.
Favorite TV show
ever
made. Study it, analyze it. Recreate it, but I want these parameters.
Well, that was like Twilight. Twilight, that was the fanfic. The Twilight fanfic became 50 Shades of Grey.
But where I'm talking about is you'll be able to just generate content on demand of your favorite
IP.
Right,
so it makes your specific personalized episode.
That's right.
Like you're saying, completely atomized
like Friends,
to one individual.
Friends is visited by Predator.
And what'll happen is there'll be communities of people sharing this content. And the best content will rise to the top of people making content about specific IP. And then it'll all rise up, and there'll be just entire communities around the next 5,000 episodes of Friends that people have created, and people will argue about it like they do college football.
Well, they already do that with the human ones, varieties, all those huge, massive fanfic websites that have been around since 1998 or 97.
Okay, this isn't giving me the number that I want, but I looked up on Grok how many AI books, AI-made books are on Amazon, and it's not as many as you think it is.
Well, here's the question. Those are books that have been acknowledged to be made by AI.
Correct.
These are not how many books are made.
It says 10% plus of new self-published titles
false reassurance
are written with significant AI involvement. I think that's way too low.
That's way too low.
Way too low.
Way low. I'd say it's 99% are written with significant AI involvement.
Yeah.
You think?
Yes, every pastor, editor, yeah, every self-published editor,
and pastors, pastors have been doing that for a while, using, you know, making their sermons exclusively with AI, as you say.
Yeah, of course they are. Everybody's using. It's absurd to say that 10% are.
A conservative industry estimate: up to 50% of indie authors use AI tools. Well, of course they do. Well, Grammarly is an AI tool. That's just grammar.
Yeah, people are lying. Is what's happening here?
Right. So you're not going to reveal
exactly.
Even if it's your first book or your 100th book,
yeah, that's right.
You will not have the audacity to admit that AI wrote this book.
Yes. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Polymarket.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the bias associated with what you just said of authors not admitting.
Yeah. Okay.
They used AI and how that affects voters and the biggest Polymarket win ever.
Okay.
All right.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back in. During the break, we were talking offline a little bit about Polymarket. We started that conversation. It's really interesting. Johnny, you sent me this interesting interview from 60 Minutes talking about Polymarket. So it's pretty mainstream now. I guess we've talked about it
for
a while.
Do you want to explain it briefly what Polymarket is someone who doesn't know?
Polymarket is a prediction market. Think of it a lot like gambling, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But everything is a yes or a no.
Mm-hmm.
Will this happen? And it can be about anything.
Right. The new one I just saw was in 2026, the $1.99 hot dog deal at Costco will go up.
Right.
Yes or no.
Right.
And you can put money on it. And that's where – so one of the things I love about Polymarket is I call it the new news.
Mm-hmm.
Forget polls, forget the talking heads on these 24-hour channels that are reading scripts that are being manipulated. These are people who are serious
mm-hmm.
and who are putting money on the table saying, I believe this will happen or this won't happen.
Yeah, and an important point to add on that is everything is based on 100%.
100%.
So yeah. I'm saying it's 54% likely to happen. Am I willing to buy a share?
Right.
Each share is worth a dollar.
54 cents.
Am I willing to pay 54 cents?
And how many shares am I buying?
And at the end, it's winner take all. If it happens or didn't happen, whatever side you're on, mm-hmm. you take all of that dollar. So that's why it's like gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's different from gambling is you can hop in and out of your prediction right. at any time. So give me an example. I've got a friend that he'll watch a football game. And
yep.
if a team starts at like it's 80-20, like let's say an SEC game, 80-20. And the team with 20% gets the ball first, he'll just automatically take the 20%. Because if they score,
right,
it's going up. And if they don't score,
out. Yep.
If they don't score, it's not going down. They expected – the whole expectation was a punt here anyway.
So is that not called arbitrage?
It is, yeah. Okay. It's a form of arbitrage. Yeah. And so what you can also do with that is, let's say – perfect example was the LSU game this weekend. LSU at one point had a 20% chance to win.
Yeah.
Okay. And then – at one point, they had an 80% chance to win.
Oh, wow.
So what you could have done is you buy LSU when they're at 20%.
And it raises to 80.
You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
When Texas A&M, who were they playing? It wasn't Texas A&M. It was
Texas?
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
All right. So, so what you do is when Ole Miss falls anywhere below 50%, if you take Ole Miss, you're guaranteed to win no matter what happens in the game.
Wow.
Because you've got both teams at an under 50% chance of winning.
I got you.
So you can play both sides of the game during the game.
How are they not?
Or you can sell out whenever you want.
Someone has got to create AI agent bots to do the arbitrage.
The hedge funds are doing that right now, and they're taking every single time you see. They're the liquidity pools. So when you see it and it's like 95-5, and some whoever's betting that five, you're like,
who's betting that five?
Who's betting that five? Well, the liquidity pool is snapping up everybody that's taking the long shot. So these giant hedge funds are going, yeah, we'll take 95-5 every time somebody will give us a dollar. Mm. Every time somebody will put a chance on five,
yeah.
we'll take the 95.
Oh, wow.
See what I'm saying?
It's like almost a sure bet.
They're because they're playing the math on a long scale,
right?
They're not worried about one individual play. So if you've got a 95.5, they're going to say every time some fool wants to put down a dollar and take the 5%,
yeah,
we'll take the 95%.
Oh, wow.
And they are the liquidity pools behind. So when it, when you say, like, I'm betting against one other person or somebody else is taking fund. That, you're yeah. probably betting against a hedge fund who's probably got a hell of a lot more information sure. than you do, unless you've got some unique bit of information the world doesn't know.
But they have more resources than you, so they can outlast you.
Exactly. So my point is, taking the 5% is a fool's errand unless you've got some kind of specialized knowledge about like, what's about to happen.
And the thing is, they don't worry about – I looked into this. They don't care about inside knowledge. No, like, they just don't care.
No. Nope.
They do not care. And it's pop culture things. It's wars. It's economy. It's words that Trump may or may not say in his next speech. It is so many markets.
Yeah.
It's so many predictive of opportunities.
And that's only going to grow. You're going to end up
with... Polymarket is not legal in America, right?
It just got approved.
Just got approved.
Yeah, that's why it's in the news at 60 minutes.
I gotcha. And here's the other thing. Biden went to war. The Biden administration went to war with these people, treated them like sex traffickers, treated them like fraudulent crypto Russian gangs.
While they avoided real traffickers.
And seriously, they destroyed this guy. And he went to, what, the British Virgin Islands, I think. Yeah. So he left the American area, and then he can work all over the country. The Polymarket was available, and they just valuated his company at $9 billion.
So it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I did hear him tell the story about the biggest win on Polymarket so far. It was an $80 million win on the 2024 election, and he took Trump early.
Early.
And the reason he did was he saw how much money was possibly available at the because of the size of the market, how many people were betting. That he just enlisted his own team of researchers, and they started doing their own polls. And what they found was they used a technique called a neighbor poll. They didn't ask you who are you going to vote for.
Who your neighbor was going to vote for.
Who do you think your neighbor is going to vote for?
Because that takes away the whole thing of I'm not going to tell – because that stigma of saying you're going to vote for Trump is different.
Yes. Now we're getting an accurate reading on
That's interesting.
What if I know my neighbor is going to vote the opposite of me?
Well, you do it millions of times.
It's trying to take it's taking away the idea of implicit bias. For.
It's taking away the idea of am I going to be judged if I say I'm voting for Trump?
That's great.
And that is how he beat the market because everybody else was looking at the traditional polls that were not going to.
Well, and I will say. Watching Polymarket and watching Klarna? No.
Klarna is the
payment. Kalshi,
yeah.
Watching those and watching how they predict how things happen, it's like an 80 to 90% like the yes is right and the no is right depending on what it is.
Right.
And I'm like, they're the new news.
Yeah.
Forget polls. Look at what those markets are doing. They're a much better predictor because it's people who are not playing characters, who are not looking for clicks. These are people who are saying, I'm putting my heart, my money on this to believe this is going to be a yes or a no.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn cool, man.
It's the best barometer we've had so far of getting an accurate understanding. Now, one of the complaints is if the market is thin, is it easy to sway the market by loading up a price one way or the other? And the answer to that is yes, but why would you want to do that? Because you want to make money on the final outcome.
On the long shot.
Yeah. Unless you're trying to pump, right? And then if you're your own pump, then, you know, I don't know.
Hey, on that big bet that won $80 million, do you know what the initial bet was, the layout was?
They didn't say. No. But what they did say was, the follow-up to that was, what's the biggest loss?
Yeah.
And he said everybody that was on the other side of him.
Oh, wow. Right. Wow. Because they had, that's right.
Because he wiped them all out.
He wiped them out. Dude is 27 years old. 27 years old, man. $9 billion valuation of a company.
Look up how many people work there. I bet it's not as many as you think.
Oh, he's the only owner. He's the only owner. He's the only founder.
That's absurd.
That's like you talk a little bit now.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, what's interesting is you see a lot of these companies, and they have these high valuations, and people will assume like, oh, Elon Musk, he owns Tesla. Well, he owns a lot of shares of Tesla.
Right.
But everybody else also owns Tesla. You're telling me that this homeboy owns Polymarket 100% at $9 billion. Hold
on. Again, I watched that thing, and it was on in my car.
That's fair.
71 employees at Polymarket.
Okay.
Let's see.
That's like a car dealership. That's like a mid-sized restaurant.
One founder, Shane Copeland.
Yeah, man.
Wow!
What a dude.
No co-owners are mentioned in official records, funding announcement, or biological profiles.
What a dude.
Holy moly, he's a solo entrepreneur, NYU, and he dropped out. Of course he did.
Or is he a plant from a three-letter agency?
Hold on. This is where it gets, again, that venture capital money, so crazy. Holding an estimated 11% stake. So he
somebody's got some. Oh, he's got 11%.
He has 11%. That makes more $9 billion.
Yeah, yeah, but that makes more sense.
Yes.
He got diluted funding, along the way.
Pre-seed, right. Seed. Right. Yeah, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
So 11% still is a.
Well, at that, solid again.
At that valuation. Yeah, so he's looking it over. He's a billionaire now.
That is incredible. Wow. Well, Polymarket. Kalshi is the other one. That's the one I've seen that's the one I've seen the most.
Yeah, don't go losing your rent money. Gambling on obscure events about what may happen on Saturday Night Live after you've had 17 Bush lattes.
Jeez, that sounds like something like Bush lattes.
Polymarket. They have competitors though, don't they? The Polymarket.
Yeah, Kalshi.
Kalshi. That's what I'm trying to.
But what's going to happen is there's going to be these really niche markets as well. Once, because this is approved now, right? So it's like, okay, all I got to do is carbon copy and paste your code. Now I've got my own market, and I'm going to do the number of times whatever happens on a rerun of some obscure TV show.
Well, what's a rerun, though? You would know.
Not if you don't know what episode's coming up.
Okay.
I don't know. I just made that up, but that's not a very good example, actually. That's probably a terrible example.
That was terrible.
Not but, for somebody.
All right,
somebody
I got out there it. Is I got a good it example. Now.
Okay.
8-year-old T-ball at Municipal Park. Will the kid get a hit?
That is definitely a gambling problem if that's what.
Yeah, and so these parents will be able to sit around the Little League field. And do you really believe in Little Tommy? Do you believe in Tiny Tim?
How much do you
put your money where it matters?
Hold on. I do have the 7 oddest political bets on Polymarket. We should do that in the next one.
All right. We'll come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Okay.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. And we were talking about prediction markets. Johnny, before the break, you teased us and said you were going to dial up some of the craziest markets we could.
I do.
We could place real hard American cash.
Yes, I have weirdest bets on Polymarket in 2025.
Let's do it.
Will Jesus Christ return in 2025?
What's it polling at?
500,000K plus odds favored, skeptics heavily. So skeptic, no. Mostly on no.
Yeah, but that's a great example of where a hedge fund will take every dollar that you'll give them.
Yeah, with odds as slim as 3% as of 2025.
Well, here's the deal, man. Depending on what you believe, if he's coming back, then I don't need my money anyway.
Exactly.
I might as well bet on no, I'll win either way.
You're getting that for your heathen relative that are left after the rapture.
I win either way. Spend it all.
Okay, will Jesus return before Grand Theft Auto 7 releases in 2026. That's stupid. Will the U.S. confirm aliens exist in 2025?
See, I think that's
2.7 million unresolved with no dominating.
So here's what gets interesting there is you've got to look at the contract to determine what the resolution is. Like what counts as the official acknowledgement from the U.S. government.
Right.
What
does
it have to do to trigger
external conspiracy fodder, government disclosure of extraterrestrials or tech, odds hovering at 4%, but it drew UFO enthusiasts betting big on whistleblowers. Okay, this is, will Russia capture specific Ukraine villages? And they name them.
Can I tell you something really interesting about that?
Yes.
While you're in the middle of that? Okay.
Yes.
On Polymarket Europe, you can zoom in to the map of Russia down to neighborhoods, and you can bet on neighborhoods.
Oh.
And so the theory now is that people are going to start arming different parts of Ukraine They're going to say, like, oh, I'll bet $100,000 on this, and I'll send them a fleet of drones.
Yes, right.
And then we'll go, like, a real life risk.
So you'll create your own
drone
army.
Like, real risk where I can bet on what's going to happen in this, whether this neighborhood is going to get taken by the end of the month.
Okay. Here,
that is wild to me.
Will an HBO doc reveal Elon Musk as Satoshi Nakamoto? Will Trump smoke weed with Joe Rogan?
He already
it
has
says episode, fizzled without the episode, so it didn't happen. It's not going to happen. Okay, this is Kalshi. Will Taylor Swift get pregnant in 2025? Will specific words be said in earning calls by Coinbase CEO? Oh, that's that Brian Armstrong thing.
Yeah, that's the one you did it.
The Coinbase. So this was a big story. So the CEO of Coinbase found out about these words and made sure on the earnings call he went and said every word from a printed piece of paper.
Did you see the Trump and Saudi KBS, the Saudi Arabian?
You're right. Yeah.
Well, there was a poly market on what color the Saudi's guy's suit would be.
Yeah.
And when he came out and he said
maroon?
No, he was wearing blue, and he said, sorry to all of you that put your money on black.
Oh, goodness.
You didn't win today.
Wow.
Who will be a
bride? Do you want to bet against the Saudi prince that knows what he's going to wear? Like, so you're like, you're telling me this Saudi prince can make money on himself.
Yes. What suit he's gonna wear? Like, he needs more money.
I know what I'm just saying. Like, do you want to bet against that guy?
Yeah. Who will be bridesmaids in Taylor Swift's wedding?
Oh, yeah.
That's will Costco change its hot dog price in 2025? Will J.D. Vance take office by end of 2025? Game of the year at the Game Awards 2025? So you see what we're talking about.
So another great example of somebody that won big that this guy was talking about was a guy bet very, very early that Vance would be the vice presidential nominee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I saw that too.
Specifically
and why he chose it.
It was one syllable. Bet. And it was almost exactly like Pence. And Trump one is a brander cylinder. And marketer. And he would want something that's exactly the next closest thing to the same.
Yeah, he won a huge bet based on the idea of he thought pretty sure it was going to be a one syllable word and the only person.
And Vance was close to Pence. And he thought it just in Trump's brain, it's
Trump,
going to be
Vance, Trump, Pence.
Vance,
yeah.
Vance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was on the 60 Minute segment. Yeah, we live in such a strange world, man. Imagine 25-year-old Johnny and 17-year-old Scott Tindall back in the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
And us saying, you know, when we get older, there's going to be a market where we can bet on things like, will the president of the United States smoke weed with somebody who's kind of like on a radio show?
I would have thought I'm living my best life. This would have been the stuff I'm interested in now, I was interested in as a 17-year-old kid. If you'd have told me in high school, hey, man, one day you can go on the radio every week and talk about aliens or technology or sports or
alien technology
or TV shows or movies.
Or alien TV shows.
Yeah. And then if he alien told me that I wouldn't shows. Get paid for it, I'd be like, whoa, hold on. I thought you were saying this is a career here.
For some people, it is still.
I know. But so to your point, it would feel like Back to the Future. But when I watched Back to the Future, I looked at that and said, yeah, 2025, I expect we'll have all this. Like nothing in
Where's
that,
my hoverboard at?
Well, they exist. They're just not.
It's like $50,000.
Yeah, well, the technology exists. But I guess my point was.
I can't
was,
get my hand on DeLorean, for God's sake.
I've always been the type of person that I looked at that and thought, yeah, okay. Sure. That doesn't shock me that the world would look like that in 40 years. That's how I feel now. Like, there's nothing you can tell me, virtually, nothing you could tell me. As you said, if that's going to happen in 40 years, I'd be like, no, it's impossible.
I think the big thing that was missed by the prognosticators and the futurists was the iPhone. I think they got pieces and parts of the iPhone, but they made four or five different. Mm-hmm. They didn't see it as in one genius rectangle.
I think the name iPhone came from Johnny Mnemonic in the movie, because he says, "Oh, hand me that iPhone over there."
Mm.
That's 1995.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what we're going to see is a rapid transformation. And I'll give you an example. 65 years ago was 1960. The first season of Mad Men is set in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch that show today, you will think, that feels like it might as well have been the dinosaurs walking around.
Of course.
In 5 years, you're going to look at today like we look at 1960. Yeah. And you're going to look at at what we're doing now and go, do they have dinosaurs walking around? was Moses coming down with the mountain with the tablets? How long ago was that?
I don't remember.
Digital lost lands.
Not really remember what it was like not having these phones in our pocket. I keep thinking, how did we ever find our friends at like a music festival?
I don't know.
How did we ever figure out how to coordinate anything?
I think we didn't. I think we just, hey, man.
Oh, you're terrible at it.
If I see you, I see you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going with these friends. You're going with those
pre-planned
friends.
Pre-planned Matrix.
Maybe we'll run into each other. Maybe we won't.
Well, I can't even remember the time when I actually had a beeper.
Yeah, can you imagine you trying to use an Atlas today?
Oh, God. A triple A triptych.
Everybody have one of those. All right, folks, we got to go. See you next week.